So we start our second hour of What's Going On. Nice to have you here. I am Jim Rome. I feel great. Having a tremendous Tuesday. Coming off a really good first hour, and the second hour is going to be really good. Busy hour. Live from the Quicken Loan Studios, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. I am the pimp in the box, representing and pimping all things that are good. Coming up next segment, Mike Holmgren, Super Bowl winning head coach, joins us. Quadri Olison, a senior running back for Pitt. Right after that, Alex Anzalone, a Saints linebacker. All of a sudden, they might be the team to beat in the NFL. That's in the third hour. 1-800-636-8686. What do you want to talk about? If you missed hour number one, I want to reset very quickly the Monday night matchup. On paper, that was something I wanted nothing to do with. I wanted no part of that. A combined 3 wins and a combined 0 hope. I did not want to watch that game. I'll be real. If they didn't pay me to, I wouldn't have. There's so many things I would have rather have done than watch the Giants and 49ers. Not only would have rather have done, more important things to do. Like sitting in a chair and looking at the wall. Spending time with my family. But that game turned out to be better than I thought. Because what I thought was it was going to be the worst game of the year. And it was not. Phil in Dallas tweets, tell Caris LeVert, the best way to recover from a dislocated foot is to hit the 9-iron on the next tee. Signed, Tony Finau. That's really good news, too. Never have I thought a dislocated foot would be considered good news. That's really good news. If you saw that injury last night, and when that happens, somebody were to say, you know what? It's going to be a dislocation, but no fracture, moderate ligament damage, no surgery. He might be back this year. That would have been the best thing ever. Seeing that injury last night, that's not what I thought. But come to find out the next morning, that's exactly how that is. No surgery, no fracture, moderate ligament damage, and he's expected back this year. So that's really good news. Additionally, Melo may be done in Houston after only 10 games. That's coming up. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. He's still Batman. Dan Lesks, referencing something that happened at the end of the hour. Great. Matt in Van started a border skirmish, and the United States representative is the Jungle's Nathan Peterman. Matt in L.A. Pretty well said. In case you missed that part of the program, quickly, at the end of the hour, Matt in Vancouver said, in response to my Nate Pete take, I can live without Nate Peterman, but there's no way that I can live without that royalty-free techno. Why don't you use that to bump in whenever some terrible scrub caller like Matt in L.A. calls? Matt in L.A. happened to be on the phone when I read the email, so I bumped it in. And then we played him off to that. And then Matt and Van ended the hour by piling on Twitter. He called it a pick six by Matt in L.A. And then Denlesks makes a great point. Great. Now we have a border skirmish. Canada v. the U.S. And the Jungle representative is Nathan, or the Jungle's Nathan Peterman is represented by Matt in L.A. Now you're caught up. That was hour number one. All right, so once again, life comes at you really quickly. Life comes at you really fast. That's my man, DeMar DeRozan. He was blindsided by life back in mid-July, when the Raptors dealt him to San Antonio for Kawhi Leonard. That's not DeMar's response. That was not his reaction. In fact, DeMar made it pretty obvious. He made no secret of the fact he was not happy about that. DeMar was the guy that wanted to spend his entire career in Toronto. So hard to blame him for being unhappy. The face of a franchise for nearly a decade. How do you expect him to be anything other than bent when he loved that town, he loved his situation, he wanted to be there for his entire career? So getting that news is bad. But how he received that news and where he received that news is even worse. Now we find out the juiciest details of the entire trade. Because according to a column written by Jonathan Abrams, a Bleacher Report, DeMar was back here in Southern California, in his hometown of L.A., getting his grub on after watching the new Denzel movie, Equalizer 2. Now, let me be straight. And in no way am I throwing any shade or disrespecting a legend like Denzel. I'm not doing that. But did anybody even know there was an Equalizer 1?
Oh, no, you didn't. Wait a minute. No, you didn't. You disloyal, fool-ass, bitch-made punk.
Jay! I need my money!
I get it, man. I really do. You need your money. I need my money. We all need our money. I'm just not stepping in front of that. I just didn't know that you were working some Equalizer franchise. I didn't know that that franchise existed. I mean, usually sequels are chasing some smash hit. They're never any good, but at least they're chasing a smash hit. I'm just saying that the next person that I run into, not named DeMar DeRozan, who even knew there was an Equalizer 1, is going to be the first. But that's neither here nor there. That's not what this take is about. DeMar saw the movie, and then he went to crush some grub after the movie. And let's just say my man keeps it real. He did not go to Nobu's. He didn't hit up Mastro's. He didn't hit up Spago. He didn't go to Javier's. Nah, none of that. My dude hit the Bose. J-Bose, to be specific. This is straight from the column. Quote, upon leaving the movie theater in Los Angeles late into the night, he checked his phone. I was wondering why I was getting missed calls, he says. He was hungry, so he went to get something to eat at a Jack in the Box. In the parking lot, he got a call telling him he had just been traded to San Antonio. It caught me off guard, he says. I stayed in the Jack in the Box parking lot for like 2 hours, just trying to process it all. That's how I found out. Midnight. Sitting in the Jack in the Box parking lot for about 2 hours until I went home. End of quote. Now, somewhere right now, I'm sure Bag Affleck is smiling hearing that story. Because if anybody knows that a real life happens at a Jack in the Box, it's a guy who sent his nanny and ex-wife in to grab him a sack of J-Bos on his way to rehab a few months back. So shout out to DeMar for enduring the kind of news that literally leaves you frozen in a Jack in the Box parking lot for 2 hours. Not exactly the place that you want to post up for more than 5 minutes, especially past midnight in LA, driving the kind of whip that I'm sure that he was driving. Now, the good news for DeMar is that J-Bo's is a 24/7 drive-thru. So it's very possible that in those 2 hours that he could have gotten hungry again. Maybe wanted to hit it with some comfort food. Could have rolled through for round two. Let's face it, that chocolate lava cake is the perfect taco chaser. Or so I'm told. I mean, imagine being so emotionally floored that you're stuck in a Jack in the Box parking lot for 2 hours. As a compliment, this is what the Raptors meant to this guy. This is how much he loved Toronto. This is how badly he wanted to be there. Now, there is a silver lining to the entire thing. DeMar is currently balling out of his mind. So far with the Spurs, he's averaging career highs in shooting percentage, rebounds, and assists. Why is that? Better organization, better situation, I don't know. Maybe both. Maybe neither. Or maybe it's because there are no Jack-in-the-Box locations in all of Canada, but there's freaking 46 in San Antonio alone. Coincidence? Coinkydink? I don't think so. The bag, Affleck, got clean after he inhaled an entire J-Bo franchise. He looks great now. DeMar is playing his best basketball with Jack on nearly every corner in San Antone. So the question for all of you trying to better yourselves, who's next up in the drive-thru line? I'm glad those deets leaked. It's an amazing story. I always wonder where DeMar was when he found out devastating news like that. He was a Jack in the Box after watching The Equalizer 2. Jamie in Green Bay, first one through. He tweets, Jim, wasn't diarrhea equalizer one?
Diarrhea is the great equalizer.
True in West LA, man. That just continues to come back to bite me, doesn't it? Wasn't diarrhea equalizer one? Hey, listen, at first I denied it because I'd forgotten. Honestly, I've done this so many times for so long and had, I mean, come on, hundreds of thousands of takes, hundreds of thousands of rants. Even I can't remember everything I've said over the past 30 years. Case in point, that diarrhea is the great equalizer. But upon being shown that, I not only own that, I stand by that. It is. It was true then. It's true now. Still looking for a phone call. 1-800-636-8686. Quickly, let's go to Kansas City. I've got Mike Holmgren coming up next segment. But first, we go to Kansas City. John, good to have you. John, how are you?
I'm okay. Jim, I have gone blind over the past 2 years. So all of my information comes through auditory rather than visual sources. And I just want to thank you and Adam, whose mustache I don't remember as being ridiculous at all. And I want to thank everybody involved with your show for being a bright spot and really helping me keep on, keep on.
You know, John, I really appreciate you saying that. And I'm sorry for what happened, but I appreciate you making the phone call. Really nice to have you on. Hey, listen, the best compliments, and I get some things that are not compliments, but the best compliments I've ever received over the years are usually along the lines of, I'm going through something, because inevitably we're all going to go through something, or we are all going through something. And if somebody says, I went through something, or I'm going through something, and it's really challenging, and what the show does for 20 minutes, an hour a day, 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, whatever it is, it kind of takes me away from that. It helps me deal with this. It helps me forget what I'm dealing with. That's the best compliment that I ever get. And I get the flip side of that, too. Hey, Rome, you've got the worst show ever. You're a bag, man. It's all part of it. But the best of the best is, thank you for what you do, and it's helping us deal with what we're dealing with right now. So, John, thank you very much. Call back soon. Love to hear from you again. When we come back, Mike Holmgren, Super Bowl winning coach. He's got an amazing resume and a great story, a great NFL story. That's coming up next. And then after that, Quadri Olson. Look, I know there are a lot of you out there who did not sleep well last night. I even know why you did not sleep well last night, because either you or the person in the same room snores. You didn't sleep well because snoring is not sleeping. There is a solution. It's a revolutionary sleeping device. The Zipa. Zipa is a game changer. If you snore, you're not sleeping. I know for a fact, if you're not sleeping, you're not succeeding. You might be able to get by for a night or two with poor sleep, but if this happens over and over again, you're not going to be at your best. You're not going to succeed. You need that Zipa. Zipa is the only snoring solution of its kind. If you snore, you need one. So go to ZYPPAH.com. Zipa. ZYPPAH. Easy to remember because Zipa is happy Z spelled backwards. Go to Zipa.com right now and get one. Tell everybody you know to get one. Remember, Z-Y-P-P-A-H, Zipa. Get the great night of sleep that you both need and deserve with Zipa.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are efforting Mike Holmgren. Quadri Olson is a senior running back for Pitt, and he's going to join us on the other side of that. And then if you want to call, you can get through it still. 12 Wood is in on Twitter. A dislocated foot. Is anyone claiming it? Signed Rex Ryan. Come on, Wood. One, you're better than that. Two, I know on some level, for some reason, you kind of admire me. So let me help you out here. You don't make light of things like that. Now, I know it's the jungle. I know we have to push the envelope. But there's a line, and you're going over it. The guy suffered a gruesome injury. And luckily, the news is much better than expected. It's a dislocation. There were no fractures. Moderate ligament damage. No surgery necessary. So maybe you think, yeah, well, it's good news, right? That's okay. It's okay to make a Rex Ryan foot fetish joke, right? Wrong. It's not okay. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by a Super Bowl winning head coach. Three NFC championships. He led two different franchises to the Super Bowl. He is a member of the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. Mike Holmgren, A Football Life, premieres Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. The one-hour show features interviews with Holmgren, as well as Joe Montana, Steve Young, Brett Favre, and Matt Hasselbeck. He joins me right now. Mike, nice to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Very well. Thank you for having me.
Mike, it is so good to talk to you. Listen, you never struck me as somebody who's going to go out and make it about you. So when you were approached about doing A Football Life, what was your reaction?
Well, I kind of chuckled because I wasn't sure they were being serious, you know. But the more we've talked about it and the more they kind of said what they wanted to do with it and involve my family and things like that, it was fun. I mean, the guys did a great job, and I appreciated their hard work.
All right, so that's coming up on Friday night. You know, Mike, there's so many things I want to talk to you about, but let me start right here. You were the quarterback's coach at BYU, and then you applied to be the head coach at the University of Montana. You did not get that job, but after that, somebody reached out to you and said the 49ers were going to need a new quarterback's coach. What happened next?
Well, I kind of told my wife, Kathy, and I said, listen, I got a chance to interview in San Francisco, and she goes, really? And she couldn't believe it. So I said, well, I'm not going to get the job, but I think the experience would be really good to go out and talk to those people. And it was my home. You know, I grew up there, so it was really fun. I interviewed with Coach Walsh and the rest of the coaches there in San Francisco, and then Bill called me in and said, you know, you did fine on the interview, but I have another guy in mind. And so if that doesn't work out, then we might get back to you. And so I said thank you and then went back to BYU. I was out jogging, Jim, and all of a sudden I came back, and the secretary goes, Coach Walsh phoned, and I told him you were out jogging. I go, what? You did what? I said, get me where? What? What's the number? So I phoned Bill back, and he offered me the position, and I was really grateful to come back to the city I grew up in.
Mike Holmgren joining us. What a great story. I mean, so you're a few years removed from coaching high school football at that point. So what was it like to go back to the city where you were from to work with Bill Walsh and coach Joe Montana?
Well, you know, it was very, very special. Obviously, I was a little bit nervous or anxious, I guess, because how am I going to coach this greatest quarterback at the time, and what can I do to help him, and how can I make a difference, and all those kind of things ran through my mind. And then Bill set up a time when we could talk. You know, Joe's coming in. Why don't you guys go get a Coke or something and introduce yourself to each other? And he came in, and Joe, we walked down the hallway to the cafeteria or something, and he stops and he goes, Mike, first thing, he goes, I want you to coach me hard. Coach me. If I make a mistake and I'm not doing what you want me to do, you've got to tell me. And if you think there's a better way or I can do something, tell me. And then this is going to be great. And I said, thank you. And then I was thinking to myself, I didn't say it out loud at the time, but I'm going, wow, here's this MVP. This guy really reached out and made this special for me right away. And then the rest, yeah, he made it great, great for me. I loved it there.
We're talking to Mike Holmgren. You know, Mike, you look at Joe Montana, and I can remember when Joe played, and I'd interview Joe, and I'd be around Joe, and I'd see the way other Pro Bowlers were when they got around Joe. It's almost like they were in awe of his it. And then when you look at Joe, like much like Wayne Gretzky maybe, Mike, that physically there's nothing really extraordinary about either one of these guys, but they might have been the very best doing it what they did. So how would you define what it was that made Montana so special and so unique?
Well, I think you said it very well, Jim. I think, you know, you physically, you go, okay, he's an athlete, clearly. But, you know, and he had a stronger arm than people gave him credit for. But, you know, I think he had a great, first of all, his teammates loved him. That's the very first thing. And they would do anything for him. And that is necessary on a football team. Secondly, he was a great competitor. He'd want to play darts, whatever you were doing, he would try and compete and win and do those types of things. So you needed that. But then he was really gifted as far as accuracy. He may have been the most accurate throwing quarterback I've ever been around. And you know, it paid off for him clearly. But, you know, he was just a competitor. He's a tough guy. He played hurt. I can't say enough good things about him, of course, and his record speaks for itself.
Mike Holmgren joining us. A Football Live premieres Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. Once again, it's a one-hour show featuring interviews with the coach, Joe Montana, Steve Young, Brett Favre, and Matt Hasselbeck. You know, Mike, I've been to Green Bay in the past, and this year I've made a couple of trips to Wisconsin. There really is no place like Green Bay, and there's nothing I would imagine like winning a Super Bowl with the Packers. How would you describe what that community is like, and what was it like for you to live and work there?
Well, for a California kid, you know, going back there, to be honest with you, Jim, it gets cold there.
Yeah, it does.
If you didn't know that, it gets a little chilly.
Right.
But going in there, you know, and I remember my first interview with Ron Wolf and waiting in the lobby of the old Lambeau, of the offices there at the old Lambeau Field, and there was a collage and murals, and it had Bart Starr and Vince Lombardi and Ray Nitschke and Forrest Gregg and all these guys and all they had accomplished. But that had been like 20 years previous. But still, for a kid growing up and liking football, you knew about those people. And then to have a chance to coach there and be there, that was very special. Now, the people there, the football and the Packers are very, very important to them, and rightfully so. And it's a great community. They're very, very supportive. And I don't think you could ever start another franchise in a community that small again. I don't think it's possible. And they did it, and they've sustained it for a long time, and I think that says a lot right there.
I think you're right. I remember going there for the first time in the mid-90s, and I couldn't believe, I mean, just how charming, how quaint, but just how rabid they were. And even as a California guy myself, Mike, first sports book I ever read was the Green Bay Packer Diary of Jerry Kramer. And yeah. I remember meeting him for the first time. And to this day, he's one of my favorite athletes ever. I remember going into Fuzzy Thurston's bar for the first time and meeting Fuzzy. The whole thing is just so surreal. And then you had a chance to coach Brett Favre. And Brett Favre says that when he looks back on his career, the only regret he has is that he only played 7 years with you and he wished it was longer. So what was it like to coach him, and how would you describe the relationship the two of you had?
Well, it's obviously he's a very, very special person and a special player. I got him early in his career, the first, six, 7 years of his career, and early on, I'll be honest with you, you know, people thought we didn't get along because it was a little bit of tough love in there, you know, because he was a little bit of a wild child, but he was so fun to coach, and I really did. He was one of my most favorite guys to coach because he could make me laugh. The teammates loved him. He was a very special guy that way. Early on, you know, I tried to, in the off season, tried to, you know, look at how any quarterback I had could improve their game. How can we be a little bit better next year than we were this last year and things like that. And I remember a conversation I had with Brett because he would do wild things and get us jammed up. You know, I mean, throw a ball off his knees and try something crazy. And I said, let's try and eliminate those types of things, you know. And I think if we just eliminate, cut that down a little bit, we'll be better off. And he goes, Mike, that's just how I play. I play the game that way. And I said, okay. I said, you want to go to the Super Bowl, though, don't you? He goes, oh, absolutely. You know, he goes, okay, I think, you know, we can be 9-7 and we can be 10-6 and get into the playoffs playing the way you're playing right now. And I think you're that gifted. But your goals are the same as mine. If we want to go on farther, I think I'm going to ask you to try and do these other things. And to his credit, he said, okay. And he condensed his game down, and he got us to the Super Bowl, and we won one. And I give him a lot of credit for that because that was going against the grain a little bit for him.
Mike Holmgren, my guest. Mike, before you go, I mean, you obviously played such a role in the lives and careers of some of the greatest quarterbacks in league history. It would be easy just to focus on the quarterbacks. But when you look back on the history of the Green Bay Packers, what did it mean to Green Bay to have Reggie White sign there? How significant was that?
Jim, it was huge. You know, Reggie was a special, special human being. Great football player, but really a special human being. And, you know, at the time in free agency to try and coax some of the black athletes to come to Green Bay up and how cold it was. The kids from Florida or Arizona or California, they go, why would I want to go there? Well, Reggie was a goodwill ambassador and really was allowed us to open up the doors, I think, of Green Bay and recruit anybody as a free agent into that place. And aside from being such a great football player, no one ever thought we had a chance to sign him. I mean, quite honestly, in free agency, but we did. And I'll be eternally grateful. I've got a chalk drawing in my office of Reggie that his mom gave me that I'll always cherish. You know, he was a special man to me.
So, Mike, when you watch A Football Life and you hear Joe Montana talk about how much he learned from you, or you hear Brett Favre say that he would not be where he is today without you, you hear Steve Young talk about how he's close to tearing up when he thinks about your impact. Matt Hasselbeck says that you made all the difference. When you see guys of that character and that fiber say those things about you, how does that make you feel and what's it mean to you?
Well, I think it obviously it makes me feel great. I think when I got into this business, I really had no intention of being an NFL coach. I was a high school coach and history teacher and really liked doing that and dealing with kids and hopefully making a difference in their life in a lot of ways. And to be able to do something I love for so long and have those guys, those great players, say nice things about me, I'll get kind of emotional. On the other hand, I haven't seen it, Jim, and I'm a little nervous about it. I hope they don't tell any of the bad stories. You know?
I think you're going to be all right. I think it's going to be fine. Mike Holmgren, A Football Life. It's going to premiere on Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. And once again, that one-hour show does feature sit-downs with the coach, as well as Joe Montana, Steve Young, Brett Favre, and Matt Hasselbeck. Mike, so good to get caught up. Really nice to have you on the show. Thanks very much for that, and I will really look forward to seeing that show on Friday night.
Hey, Jim, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. That was fun. Great to get caught up. Super Bowl-winning coach. 3 NFC championships, and led a couple of different franchises to the Super Bowl. Packer fans, I know, love that. The 12s might want to react to that. Hawks, stay in your shoes. Seattle's coming out of Hawk right now. Hawks like wearing these capris today. Well, they're not capris, but they're actual normal length pants. Bro, I mean, did you wash those and dry them in heat? Like, wow, bro. James Kelly's like, dude, I can see the guy's shins. Like, they're like capris. There's nothing ironic about that, Hawk, as always. When we return, what are your thoughts on that? Great to get caught up with Mike Holmgren. Quadri Olison joins me. When we come back, we'll talk some Panther football with him. Next hour, Saints linebacker Alex Anzalone. But first up, I got a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's get our thanks to Mike Holmgren coming on and talking about his NFL life. Thanks to him, let's keep moving. We'll talk some college football right now. We are joined by a running back for Pitt. In fact, the ACC running back of the week. He had a career high, 235 yards, 3 touchdowns in Saturday's win over Virginia Tech. More than 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns this season. The 6th player in Pitt history with 2 1,000-yard seasons. Pitt is 6-4. They're in first place in the ACC Coastal Division, and they're at Wake Forest on Saturday. Another big game there. Quadri Olison is my guest. Quadri, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. How you doing?
Good, man. Great. Great to have you on. Listen, you had an absolutely monstrous game on Saturday. I know you're already thinking about this week's game against Wake Forest, but can you take us back to the weekend? You scored in that first quarter, then you had your second TD of the game in the fourth quarter, and then the game got the ball back on its own 3-yard line. What were you thinking there before the start of that play? Because it was on that play where you went legend.
You know, it was funny. Before the play, you know, I was talking to Darren, you know, the other running back. And, you know, we kind of just joking around. Just, you know, I asked him, like, you think I can go 97 yards? And, you know, we kind of just laughed about it. And he was like, I don't know, but if you do, like, you'll have the record. You know, and you always, as a kid, or, you know, as any player, you always dream about getting a run that long. You know, so, you know, it was just funny that we kind of talked about it before it happened. You know, he had the previous record of 92 yards. And, you know, I broke his record you know, he got it last year and I broke it this year. And it was just funny. It was a good feeling though. You know, an amazing feeling on senior day. You know, you couldn't really script a better story than that.
Quadri Olison joining us. Darren, of course, is Darren Hall. I mean, for those who had not seen it, and we just played it right now on CBS Sports Network, I mean, you hit that hole, you rip off that 97-yard TD run, and it included a nasty, nasty stiff arm. How good did it feel to stiff arm, to get a stiff arm like that off, and to finish that play and know that nobody was going to run you down?
You know, it felt good. You know, I had a play earlier in the year, my second game of the season, where it was kind of a, you know, similar situation. I think on maybe been, it might have been like the 4-yard line, but you know, I broke out, ended up getting caught and pushed out of bounds for like a 65-yard run. You know, so when I broke, I told myself I'm not gonna just get pushed out of bounds this time. I'm gonna at least try to, you know, whether it's cut back or run the guy over. But as a running back, you know, it's our job to make a guy miss, to get those extra yards, to run a guy over. You know, to extend plays. And that's something that we always preach here at Fit, is, you know, being able to extend plays. You know, anybody can run through an open hole. You know, that doesn't make you a good running back. What makes you good is being able to extend plays, make people miss, get those yards after contact. And, you know, and I think we do a good job of that.
Well, you did your job. And one more thought about Darren Hall. You know, from the outside, it seems like the two of you guys trade back and forth who's going to have the dominant game, and you're both incredibly supportive of each other. I mean, it'd be so easy to be so competitive and so caught up in your own situation, but it seems like the better the other one does, the more happy you are. How have the two of you been able to kind of work that out and support each other the way you have?
Just, you know, our motto around here in Pittsburgh is that iron sharpens iron. You know, we make each other better. Competition brings out the best, you know, in the player. You know, that's my brother. I love him to death. And, you know, I know he feels the same about me. And it's good to have, like, friendly competition. You know that, you know, I know and he knows that neither of us can take a day off. You know, we can't take a day off in practice, you know, take a day off in a game or anything like that, because, you know, we're just as equally as good, you know, as one another. And, you know, especially, you know, it's all competition and practice. When we get to the game, you know, we're one big family. You know, we support each other. He supports me. I support him. And that's how it's been for 4 years. You know, it was like that my redshirt freshman year. He was a true freshman playing. And, you know, we've gotten really close over the last 4 years that I've known him. And, you know, he'll be a friend of mine, a brother of mine for the rest of my life.
It's tremendous. You talk about family. Aaron Donald was hyping you on Twitter Saturday. What's it mean to get that kind of love from a player and a Pitt legend like him?
That was huge. Getting a tweet from AD, you know, and AD doesn't tweet a lot.
Right?
You go down his Twitter, he doesn't tweet a lot. So, you know, to get that recognition from him, you know, I see him, you know, when he's here training in the off season pretty much every day. So we talk a little bit. But definitely for him to go out of his way, go out of his time, you know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, you know, Pro Bowler, Defensive Player of the Year. To get that recognition from him, man, is definitely huge. It's definitely an honor. And, you know, I was surprised when I saw it, man. Just excited, though.
Hey, listen, one more member of that family, too. James Conner was fired up on Twitter. You responded that he was the one who set the standard. How would you describe the standard that James set, and how do you go about matching that or trying to match that?
Well, you know, when I came here and I was a freshman and I redshirted my freshman year, you know, James set a high standard, you know, for really my class, you know, his sophomore year, 1,800 yards, ACC Player of the Year. You know, and he just really just kept the standard going that was set by guys that came before him. So what I mean by he set the standard, for me, for Darren, and, you know, and it's our job to set the standard for other guys to come. But, you know, just the standard of being a Pitt running back, what that means, you know, is really just being physical, being blue collar, being tough, you know, and you've seen it in running backs that have been here in the past, whether it was James or Tony Dorsett or Ironhead Hayward, you know, Shady McCoy. I can go on and on all day. You know, he really set a foundation. He really set the standard for running backs of the future, for, you know, people like myself. And, you know, it's hard. You know, I look up to James. You know, he's a role model of mine. you know, even though we're around the same age, but he's still a role model of mine. And I'm happy that I have him as a friend, you know, somebody I can call and talk to any day.
You know, there have been so many great running backs, and you mentioned them. I'm really glad you mentioned Ironhead Hayward. He was one of my favorites. God, I used to love having him on this show and
definitely
watching him play. I'm so glad you mentioned him. Listen, you've got a couple of games left in the regular season, and your career is not over, but when you leave Heinz Field for the last time and you look back at your time at Pitt, what kind of thoughts do you think you'll have?
You know, definitely my last game at Heinz, you know, being the performance that we had as a team, you know, not only with my run, but, you know, rushing for 494 yards, you know, in a game, you know, the most, I think, in Heinz Field. You know, just everything we did as a team, you know, just winning that game and really just setting us up, you know, one step closer to really getting our goals. But you definitely got to think of, like, the big wins, you know, that came in Heinz Field, you know, with this one. And then, you know, last year against Miami, you know, beating Penn State a few years ago. You know, I think those are the memories that will last with me for a lifetime.
And then a final thought, you don't just share the love with your offensive linemen, you do it also on Instagram as well. What's a hog check, and why is that something you like to do?
It's, you know, our O-line calls themselves the Hogs, and, you know, the running backs, you know, we call ourselves the Stable. You know, Darren has the nickname Stallion. You know, it's just, you know, Hogs, they're the ones that, you know, they do the dirty work. You know, they get dirty, you know, they're in the trenches. You know, they don't get all the credit, but they're in there, you know, doing the dirty work so we can, you know, we can look good, you know, so the horses can look good. You know, so, you know, you got to give those guys all the credit that they deserve, and they deserve that credit. George, you know, Aston is a part of that. You know, he's in our room, but, you know, he's a part of that. But you got to give them the credit that they deserve, because they deserve, you know, more than they get. You know, they don't get to score touchdowns. They don't get to, you know, do all those kind of things. So, you know, the credit that they get is all the credit that they deserve.
Well, hearing that and having this conversation, pretty easy to see why you guys are where you are right now. 6-4, first place in the ACC Coastal Division. That is your ACC Running Back of the Week, a career-high 235 yards and 3 touchdowns. Next up, Pitt is at Wake Forest on Saturday. Quadri Olison, my guest. Quadri, great to have you on. Really great conversation. Nice to have you, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You're a good dude. Have a great day.
Appreciate
you very much. What a class act. Great player. I've been watching that stiff arm over and over and over again. Not that any perfectly executed stiff arm isn't extremely humiliating, but especially that one. Check that out if you've not seen that already. He had an amazing day, 235 yards. That was part of that 97-yard run that set the school record. Again, if you're not watching on CBS Sports Network or you're not following, that probably seems a little disconcerting to keep hearing that Batman theme over and over again throughout the show. That's when Keith Arnold walks in with some kind of intel. Holmgren reaction. Ed Wells in the 360 tweets. Mike Holmgren was an awesome coach. Nothing but respect for him. Brought us 5 divisional titles in Seattle. Would have won Super Bowl 40 if not for the awful officiating. I know you Hawks fans are never going to get over that. Never let that go. At Lawson Racing 20L, quote, I became a Packers fan as a kid during the early 90s at the start of the Holmgren, Favre, White era. That was a magical time as those three helped pull the pack from mediocrity to Super Bowl champs. It was a sad day when he left. Great coach and man. So look for that. That's on Friday. This email reads, Rome, what the hell is the deal with Hawks state trooper issued stash? Looks like he slapped a dead squirrel to his lip. I don't care if it's Movember. I can't handle it when the camera pans to that monstrosity. MJ in Orange County. You think that's bad? You gotta check out the capris he's rocking. Go ahead, Hawks, show him. It's the same guy who was name-dropping Tito Ortiz, and not in a positive manner either yesterday. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, Hawks' dedication to creating show content is unmatched. Even going to the length of wearing lady pants to start a conversation. Hey, Hawk knows he's not going to get by on sports takes. He'll do whatever he can, including slap ladies' pants and a dead squirrel on his lip. Third hour coming up. You've got your telephone number. It's toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Do not go anywhere.